Okay, so doing a Gemara about the Kama and Hamad Aleph. So, Moda with Knas. Okay? So, Knas is a fine, a penalty. So there are certain things in the Torah, certain times that a person has to pay money. Where I guess you could say it's, in a rough sense, like compensation. Compensation, he damaged the guy, made him lose $50, he has to pay him $50, he stole $50, he has to pay $50. And then there's certain times where the Torah imparts a knas, a fine, a penalty, for a certain action. Like, for instance, if a person rapes a psula, whatever, she has to pay 50 shekel to the father. If a person kills an eved, he has to pay 30 shekel to the master. If a person steals, he has to pay double. The money, and then kefal, additional amount to kefal, which is a fine. If he steals a cow, or a shar, or a staff, and he slaughters it, or he sells it, he has to pay 4 to 5 times the amount of the value. So these are like fines. He didn't do damage double, he didn't do double damage, he just did one damage. Maybe he had to lose $100, but he had to pay 200. So it's a fine. So it sets up a system of fines, penalties, for certain crimes. Okay? Certain times compensation involves a knas. It's not really compensation. It's a knas. Okay. Now, the halacha is that if a person is modeh b'knas, if I come forward and I admit to a court that I stole your thing, okay, so I don't have modeh b'knas is potter. I don't have to pay the fine. Okay, I have to pay the fine if the court finds me guilty. But if I come forward and admit, of course I have to pay the principal, right, the karen, it's called, the underlying amount, because that's yours. But the fine, the extra penalty, I don't have to pay. Okay, because the pasuk says, Asher Yashion Elohim. It's the case of the bezin finds you a rasha. That's when you have to pay a fine. But if you on your own, it says, Pratlam Rashiyas Asma, it excludes the case if you, so to speak, made yourself guilty. Okay, then you don't have to pay it. That's the principle. The question is, though, the Gemara has Idmar. Moda b'knas akach ba'oedim. So let's say you're Moda, you admit, and then witnesses come afterwards. Okay? So, right? So the question is, are you off the hook or not?
Let me just turn on the
air conditioning.
Okay. Yeah.
Watch out.
Can we go stuff in here?
Yeah. So do you have to pay the fine under those circumstances? I name it off. 15 fine or so. Okay, so do you have to pay the fine if you admit and then witnesses come and establish your guilt independently? So the Rav Amar Patur Ushmal Amar Chayef. This is Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Okay, so it says Amar Rav Bar Ilai, my time to Rav. Why does Rav say Chayev? Why does Rav say Pater? Im he matze ba'edim. Ti matze b'dayanim. Problem. Rashi Yisrael says Im he matze ti matze agana. It says if he is found. Double Asher. It says he matze means there's two methods of his being found out that he's going to be obligated. Either through edim or through the dayanim themselves somehow finding it out. But it excludes if he comes forward on his own. So it says that's an exclusion of a case where you came forward on your own. So lamli, what do you need it for? You already have a limud, which I previously told you. It's an extra limud to teach you that if you're moda, if you yourself come forward, you pater. So what do you need it again? So it teaches you not only are you exempt if you admit about a kanas, but even if you admit about a knas and then it's edim come afterwards and verify your admittance, still your pater. Okay, Yishmuel, whatever. So Yishmuel uses that pasuk for something else.
Mishra
Yishmuel
is teaching
you
that extra thing?
Well, I guess one of them is teaching one, and I'm teaching the other. Right, I'm not sure which one's which. I guess not. Shishin tells you the base. It seems like Shishin is the first thing.
Right, that's what I think, yeah.
This is a super added thing. But I'm not sure that it matters. But maybe it does. It must. Okay. Rashi just says chad lamod v'knas v'lo beidim chad lamod v'knas v'akin rabbi. He just says chad l'chad.
Right.
So I guess he's telling you don't get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so that's basically the facts. Okay? So these are the facts. I mean, there's more further problems, but for this problem, it's the facts. So again, if I admit, and then what this is called, right, am I chayev to pay the knas, or am I not chayev to pay the knas? So the question is, why? What's the arguments to say one way or another? Okay, so this is the interesting thing he said, is that, what's the, and this is Adam got the ball rolling here, so what's the halacha of mode of a knas potter? This is, let's take a first step. Is it pshat that it's a poter? Like Adam's calling it, it's like an absolution or an exemption. It's a poter, mode of a knas. Poter means if you're a mode, if you have a knas case against you and you admit, you come forward, poter. Okay? You come forward and you admit, so to speak, we'll reward you for good behavior, so whatever. I mean, you come forward, it's a poter. Halachically, the other point is it's a poter. Okay? The hodah itself poters you from knas. Okay? So now, I don't care what happens afterwards, you're poter. Poter's poter. It's an exemption. It's an exempt. You can't now reinitiate the thing and do another crime. A crime is my crime. When I do a crime of stealing, I'm subject to a knas if I'm caught, if Beis Din gets me. But if I'm moda, then it's a poter. That exempts me, gets me off the hook from the knas. And that's it. I'm off the hook. You can't now, what did I do? I didn't do another crime. I didn't do anything else. So I did it and had an exemption. I'm exempt. But the other way is not pshat that it's an exemption. But moda b'knas potter just is more of like, it's more of like an absence. It's like moda b'knas potter could mean like a poter, like a positive force of ptor, or it could just mean if you're moda, that's not enough to create the chiyuv of knas. Well, this potter means moda b'knas ain't ochayev. You get so to speak. Say. It's not really a potter. It's not a positive ptor. It just means that there's a halacha of knas. Knas comes about when Beis Din figures out. They figure out on their own. They verify that you did a thief. You're a crime. You know you're a criminal. Asher Yashir and Elohim. If Beis Din finds out that you're a Rasha, that you did this thing, they're going to penalize you. If you come forward, then that's not enough. Beis Din can't rely on your testimony that you're a Rasha. Asher Yashir and Elohim. And there's a principle they say, Ein Adam Beis Din Asma Rasha. Like a person can't make himself a Rasha. You don't have a bill in court to say that you're a Rasha. Like, for instance, if you come to court and today I killed somebody, they're not going to kill you. Beis Din's not going to kill you. You need a external verification. You're in a Gevedav or whatever it is. You can't make yourself a Rasha. That's halacha. You can't, through your own testimony, render yourself into a Rasha. I mean, you could be a chayvi guy yourself to pay money to say, listen, I owe him money. I borrowed $50 from him. That you can do. But a punishment is like for being a Rasha. And you can't. You need witnesses to make you a Rasha. The penalty, and you have to make it. So you need witnesses. Your own testimony is not sufficient to establish a knas, to establish a penalty. Asher Yarshion Elohim, that Beis Din establishes him as a Rasha. If Beis Din finds him to be a Rasha through objective fact finding testimony, then they impose a knas. If you come forward on your own. Listen, if you're saying it's his money, you'll give him the money. You're saying, I stole this object. They're going to, of course, give it to him. But it's not sufficient to verify to Beis Din that you are a Rasha, and that you're Chaya, and we're going to impose a Knas. It's not enough to create a Chiyuv Knas. But if you come forward, and then the Beis Din says, okay, we don't have enough to establish Knas. Then a year later, the guy brings the Eidim that you did it. The spouse says, oh, now we know. We didn't previously have sufficient evidence to say that you were a Rasha, that you did this crime. Now we have sufficient evidence. Now we have sufficient evidence. So it would be like as if there were a court case, and the court case couldn't be probably finished up because there wasn't enough, so there wasn't sufficient evidence to prove one way or another. But then a year later, there's no evidence. So what are you going to do? Why not? Right? So that's if you say the halacha of the knas potter means mode hodah is not a valid method of being mechayev you on a knas. Not enough to give the Beis Din the knowledge and to that you're a thief and to be thereby create a chiyuv knas. You can't do it on your own. You can't make yourself a Rasha. But if you learn a new pasuk comes to teach you, an additional pasuk is teaching you, not only is it that you can't, it's not enough to be mechayev yourself a knas, but it's a ptor. Hodah is a poter. If you come forward and you admit to the Beis Din about your crime, the Torah grants you an exemption. That gives you an exemption. That creates an exemption for the Knas. If it's an exemption, then it's not a matter of an absence of evidence. It's not because of an absence of evidence. It's an exemption. So now, later you got evidence. Who cares? Nothing to do with an absence of evidence. It was just something that was a pot there. So pot is a positive force of exemption. It's an exemption of exemption. Right? One thing I think maybe would be nice to explain a little bit more. What's the idea of it being an exemption? What's the sense? I understand the idea it's not enough evidence. It means a guy can't make himself into a rasha. The knas is for him being for the crime. See, I think that's the point. Is that what's the knas for? It's not for damages, because he didn't damage the guy that much. He stole. So you damage him singly and damage him double. But it's a crime. We can't let stealing go on in society. And we have to punish a guy who steals, and so we don't whip him, we punish him monetarily. That's the manner of punishing him. But it's Asher Yarshion, the Torah calls it. It's like a rasha. It's for the finding him guilty, finding him to be a rasha. So it's like a punishment. So it's an idea. And in punishments in general, a guy can't establish his own guilt. Okay, we don't trust the guy to make it for whatever reason. For a reason, it doesn't work that way. You can't, just like you're, they say maybe sometimes the Adam Karavetz Lasma is like he's related to himself. It's like you can't testify against somebody who's, who's related to you, who you're involved with. So you can't testify against yourself. It's not a testimony. Again, momentous you could, because you're just admitting you owe a guy money. You can always admit that you owe him money. It's not like a punishment. But a punishment, I understand that you can't establish him as guilty through himself, through his own admittance. That makes sense. But what's the idea of a poter, of an exemption? Why should it be an exemption? What's the idea behind that, of saying that there should be an exemption? I mean, it sounds like halachically that's what's going on here. But could we just give some sort of a sense to that? Just to ask the question a little stronger, is that, let's say you say a thief has to pay double. So now who cares if I admit? Bottom line is, I'm a thief. If Bezdin knows I'm a thief. Because I admit, they come, the Edom came. Now, the fact that I admit of a few minutes earlier, or days, or whatever, earlier, either way, I'm a thief, and the crime of theft brings about a chiv. You have to pay double, I have to pay a fine for theft. So, what's the difference if I admit? I mean, who cares? If Bezda knows that I did it, then I did it. What's the difference if I admit it? What's the sense to saying the guy's going to get off? I mean, Bezda knows it's true. They know it. Right, so what sense does it make to, oh, there's a p'tor. But what's the sense of the p'tor? I mean, you could just say that's the halacha, and it sounds like that is the halacha. But could we just give it some sort of a meaning? Something similar to what Sammy's saying, that what's the knas for? Is it for doing the crime? You commit the crime of Geneva, you're subject to the knas of Keva. Now, of course, Bezin has to verify it through proper channels, and your own admission doesn't count. But as long as they verify that you did it through an Edom, then you have a Knas. Who cares whether you admit first, you don't admit first? It's for the killer, you did the crime. They establish that you did the crime through Edom. But the other side learns it's the Knas is not just for the commitments of the crime, but it's like for a certain type of a Gavra. Like a ganav, he's like a guy. It's a certain idea. It's like we're penalizing the rasha, Shayashina, and there's an idea of a certain gavra who's like who we have to blot out and remove, punish in the society in order to help us keep, to ward off a ganeva. So you got to basically, if the peasant finds a guy, we'll go after him and we'll get him. If he comes forward on his own, that's like, so to speak, it's like he's doing shiva. He's coming forth and he's saying, listen, I don't want you to know that I admit to my crime, that I'm off the, I really made a mistake, and whatever. That's not the gavra of the ganav. I mean, even though historically he committed the crime, but the hodah undermines, like, the shame of the gavra of the ganav. He's like, he's coming clean. So if you say that the knas is for the gavra, it's for, like, the rishas of the gavra, like a shishan of the lamb, it's a punishment to a certain type of the gavra of the ganav. So then that gavra could be undermined subsequent to the crime if he admits. And that's the p'tor of Modav Knas. So there's an exemption. Is that once if the guy comes forward, then we give him off luck. It's like an exemption. An exemption because he's now, the idea is he's undermined, in a certain sense, he's undermined the cause of the punishment. for the punishment is the gavra which is revealed through the crime, and that gavra is undermined through his hoda. So therefore, there's a sense of saying it's a p'tor. You know what I mean? So let's say the guy, he sees the witnesses coming. Okay? He sees the witnesses coming. And he admits.
He runs in front of them and faces.
I done it.
Okay. So it turns out it's my hook. That's not okay. So let's do some facts a little further. Maybe we'll think about that one overnight. But let's look at the facts here. Okay.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
All
right. Okay. So let's just see the next problem. So the Gemara says, "It says Eitzei Rav Lishmuel Ra Eidim Shemimash Meshem Uban." So if a guy did a crime, he stole, let's say, and he sees that witnesses are coming and are about to testify against him, and to say he's guilty. And then if he's found guilty, he's going to have to pay the money and double, because it's all of kefa. So the Omar, and he says, "Ganavti, avlo tavachti v'machar, avlo macharti." Okay, so I stole, but I didn't do tzvichan mechira, as I didn't slaughter it or whatever, which gives him 4 or 5, or sell it, which creates an additional kanasa, 4 or 5 times. Okay, but he's admitting that he stole it. Now, for stealing, in theory, chayv double. I did chayv double, because that's a lava. It's a knas. It's a penalty for stealing. So ain't mishalim al karam. He only pays the karam. He only pays single. He's off, exempt from the knas, from the double, because he's admitting. And mode of a knas is potter. If you admit about a knas, you're potter. So isn't that a proof? Isn't that a proof? Because we had previous machlokas, as if a guy admits about a knas and then afterwards witnesses come. Is he potter? Is he not? So this is proof. Seems to prove that he's a potter, because he sees the witnesses coming and he admits, and he's like, "Chayv Karen, but the witnesses are going to come." So doesn't that prove that admitting about a knas is an exemption? Period. No ifs, ands, or buts, and therefore that's why the guy is going to be potter forever. That doesn't that prove it? It's an open braisa. So it says, right, it's a proof. So it's a kasha on Shmuel. How could Shmuel say that if you admit and then witnesses come, you're chayiv? Isn't this the exact same case? So it's a funny answer. It says, "It's talking about the Edom turned around. They never came forward." Okay, so because it didn't say that they didn't actually testify. So it says, "Tell me, say for Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, you have Edom v'Edom." But Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon argues. He says, "No, is that if you admit, but then let the witnesses come, and then they'll be chayiv kefel." He will be chayiv kefal. So mechal tanakam savar lo. So doesn't that imply, if Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is saying, is that they didn't testify and he's going to be chayiv the kefal? It doesn't imply the rabbanon are also talking about that the witnesses come forward. So that's right. So it seems you see the rabbanon saying the witnesses are coming forward, and still it's saying it's his potter. So is that a kasha on Shmuel? So the Gemara says, maybe you've noticed this. So it says, so Amar le Shmuel. So Avikar Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon the kaiyavasi. So Ayanakar Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. Right, I go like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. What's your kasha? You're proving Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon that the case is that the witnesses came, but Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is saying that if the witnesses could still come, and you'll be chayiv. So what's your kasha on me that the rabbanon say that once the witnesses come, once I admit, I'm potter? Oh, so how could you Shmuel say that you're chayiv if you admit? But Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says it. So Shmuel is going to say, I go like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. That's the very machlokas. Shmuel is going to say that's the very machlokas. Is do you say that's an exemption when you admit it's an exemption, period? Or you say it's just an absence of evidence, but if witnesses come, then there's evidence. So Gemara says, so Shmuel v'adei Tanai. So Shmuel is definitely going to have to say it's Machlokas Tanai. He's saying Yechayev, but there are bonds there about there, so it's Machlokas Tanai. The Rav Milema Tanai, Amalucha Rav, Anadam, Yifilaroz Roshimon. He's going to say, Rav is going to say, no, really, I hold it's an exemption, period. So why in that case does Rav Elazar Roshimon say that the witnesses could still come even though you admit? So he says, yeah, in this case it's a funny case, because you're not admitting because you're coming clean, you're coming forward on your own. You're coming forward because you see the witnesses coming, and then you run quickly, you're afraid that they're going to catch you, and you run and you admit. So that's when Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says that if you admit and then the witnesses come, then you're off, then you're still chayef. But Avalacha the Vodame Atzma, but if the Rosh Hashanah would agree, if you mamish admit on your own, fill the Rosh Hashanah Moda, then even Rosh Hashanah is going to agree that if then later witnesses come, then you're going to be off the hook. Okay? So what we're introducing here is that Rav is learning, Rav holds that if you admit about a kamas, you're a potter. It's an exemption. Even if later witnesses come, that's it. Once you admit, you're potter. But the question is does that also work if you are preempting the witnesses? You see the witnesses coming and you preempt them. Do you still say, since you admit your potter, that's it, period? Right, that's the way the Chacham say. Or do you say, Blazer Rishimon argues, no, that's cheating. That doesn't count. Then, even if you admit, if afterwards witnesses come, then you're Michai. That's the way Rav is going to learn the Machlokas, Blazer Rishimon, the Chacham. Within Rav, who says it's an exemption, you're off the hook, period, even if when it's coming afterwards, if it, does it also work in this case where you're cheating and you're rushing ahead of them? Okay, that's what Machlokas. Okay, so I guess we could try that for